Welcome into the In the Money podcast for Kentucky Oaks Day, Friday, May the 3rd at Churchill Downs. I'm Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. We're going to take a look at all seven of the graded stakes on the Oaks Day card, and then, as we do on these podcasts, focus in on a late pick four ticket, and that'll start in race eight and culminate with the Kentucky Oaks. But Jim, let's go to the first grade one of the day in race five, the La Troyenne. Fillies and mares four and up in a mile and a 16th, and this is a really salty group here. Where did you land?
Yeah, it's nice to say the first grade one of the day. This is a great weekend of racing, and I think one of the things that you'll see in my picks as we go through is that Florent Giroux has a chance to have a really good weekend. And he's on what I think should be the favorite here in Idiomatic. This mare for Brad Cox has not been out since the Breeders' Cup Distaff, but she won last year, which was her third consecutive grade one after she won the Personal Instant at Saratoga and the Spinster at Keeneland. So Idiomatic, the layoff doesn't bother me much. I mean, all these fillies, most of them have not run since last year. And she's the speed of the speed. Brad Cox is so good getting them ready. He's 32% with a layoff of over 180 days. And I just don't see anybody. Idiomatic checks all the boxes. 9 for 12 lifetime, $2.5 million in earnings. Runs well at Churchill. Consistently runs in the low 100 buyers. And nobody else in this field has ever run a 100 buyer. And so that's what's called a quadruple fig advantage. I just think she's the horse to beat in here. Pretty Mischievous is 3 for 4 at Churchill. I just think she's a notch below. She's won 2 grade ones of her own, one being the Kentucky Oaks last year. So I think those two are substantially above the rest of them. Zygera, I could use her if she had a race this year because she got really good last year at Churchill and is on a 3-race winning streak, including the Mother Goose at Aqueduct last year. But she's 2 for 2 at Churchill. I just think it's a tall order to take down Idiomatic and Pretty Mischievous. So Idiomatic would be my very solid choice in their lot toy end.
I'm going to try to beat her with the last one you mentioned there, Kajira, who's 2 for 2 at Churchill. Moved up when they put her on the dirt late last summer. And Phil Bowers, based there at Churchill, as is Brad Cox. So I have to think that he knew what he was going to be facing in going in this spot. And it just kind of feels like there's a confidence level there of it's time they've got her right and it's time to go big game hunting now. I'd be more comfortable if she had one prep before this and have a little bit of a recency advantage over those other two. But for the price, I'm going to try to beat Idiomatic with Kajira. And Pretty Mischievous, I would put, third of the three. But obviously, you're talking about multiple grade one winner that you're ranking third in this group. And then the other horse I would throw in, if anybody blows things up, probably not to win, but really more to hit the board and maybe get second, is Taxed. She's had some bad rides in her career and got one last time. She came back off a layoff, and they couldn't get her in the Oaks last year, and she won the Black Eyed Susan very impressively. Last time out, she didn't get a good ride, but previous time, she came off a layoff and went a distance that you would have thought was too short for her and won so easily and looked very impressive. I liked her a lot in the next outing, and just some traffic trouble, bad ride, etc. And I just think you throw that race out. I think she's better than that. I'm just not sure she's good enough to beat these, but she's a little dangerous. I'll probably throw on a multi-race ticket to try to catch a big price or use her underneath in exactus. Race six is the grade three Unbridled Sydney. Fillies and mares 3 and up at 5.5 furlongs. I kind of think Phil D'Amato is the man to beat in here. He's got two. I took Tony Ann on top. She won the Grade 2 Franklin at Keeneland over Caravelle last fall and then ran in the Breeders' Cup sprint, turf sprint. She hadn't run since then, but she's reunited with Pratt, who's so good on the turf in particular. And then her stablemate, Elm Drive, had a bad post for that Grade 3 last time at Keeneland and lost to Roses for Deborah, who's as good a female turf sprinter as there is in the country. So I think this is a step down from that level that she's facing. So I think one of those two is probably going to win this. There's another California Invader Ag Bullet that I like for Baltus, who's 2 for 2 since going into his barn. And then Ova Charged is a horse that had a 113 buyer last time, 102 before that, so that jumps off the page. But this is a much stiffer level of competition that she's facing than what she faced in those last two. But I'm certainly going to throw her into the mix as well. How'd you see this one?
I guess I'm just a sucker for big buyer figures, because Ova Charged looks like to me that she's a standout in here. Now, I don't know how she got so good that quickly when she went to Chain Wilson's barn, but she did. And maybe she's just a fairgrounds freak. She's never set foot on Churchill before, but a huge jockey upgrade to Giroux. 113 buyer last time out. She seems to be the only mare that wants the lead here, which is huge in a 5.5 furlongs turf. I mean, the rest of them, the ones you mentioned, including Elm Drive, good closer, and I'm going to use Elm Drive in my pick four or whatever multi-legs that I've played through this race. But I just think Overcharged has gotten good at the right time, and there's no reason why she can't bring that form to Churchill. Even if she regresses, she's 20 points better than the other horses in here. And buyer figure is not the only thing, I know that. But I just think that she's got all the right things to win this race, including early speed that she's gonna, I think she's just gonna run them off her feet. I'm gonna use Stone Silent for Brian Lynch. This filly may challenge Overcharge. She's been running shorter distances, and she's better at 5 furlongs than she is at 5.5. But she's got a lot of speed as well, so she's right there next to her, and I'm thinking that Alvarado is going to have to send her to try to run down Overcharge. And then Elm Drive is the logical one for Luis Saez and Phil D'Amato coming out of the Giants Causeway. Like you say, Roses for Deborah is much, much better than anything in here. So Elm Drive has been tested, has placed in a grade one before, and I would think that that's better of the Phil D'Amato's, even though you picked Tony Ann. So those three, I think, on top, I'm going to play an exacto box for the 2, 3, 5.
Go to race 7. It's the grade 2 Ali Sheba, mile and a 16th, 4-year-olds and up. Got last year's Bluegrass winner, Tappet Trice, in there, making his first start since the Travers. First Mission coming off a big win out at Oaklawn. How'd you see it?
Yeah, this is a nice race. First Mission is 8-5. Once again, Giroux, I think he's going to be on the favorite in a lot of these races on Friday especially. This one comes off a 5-length win in the Essex at Oaklawn. Ran well at Churchill, 3 for 3 at the distance of a mile and a 16th, even though the last three races he's run a mile and an 8th, including the Clark at Churchill, where he only got beat by a nose to Trademark. So 3 for 3 at the distance, in good form for Brad Cox. Lots of things to like about First Mission. And Tumbarumba, it's just one of those horses that just tries to get there to wire. Tries so hard, and it's one of those things he just barely gets beat. He got beat by Il Moralico and Steel Sunshine last two times out, and could have won both of those, and he'd be on a three-race win streak for Brian Lynch. Il Moralico, you have to use that horse at 10-1 for Johnny Velasquez. I can't imagine that you're going to actually get 10-1 on that horse. And then Tappet Trice, just because of the Derby trail last year, first time out as a 4-year-old, has been off since August, though. So I got to think Tappet Trice is going to need one here. And I would not play him at the price he's going to be. He may be even 5-2 with Ired Ortiz, but a quality horse, won the Bluegrass last year and ran third in the Belmont and the Travers last year. So if he's ready, he's equal to First Mission, but I think First Mission has an edge on these with that last couple of races.
I'm with you on First Mission. That's where I went as well, over Tappet Trice. The horse out on the outside, Trademark, won the Clark with a 102 buyer figure, beating First Mission last fall. And this horse really likes Churchill Downs for Vicky Oliver. So I'm going to consider Trademark as well when I do multi-race wagers. And then the only other one I thought I wanted to take a look at was the horse from Japan, and doesn't really fit on paper, but just seeing these horses that don't fit sometimes jump up and win. And so I may throw that one on a ticket as well really for no good reason other than the mystery angle. But I like First Mission a good bit in the Ali Sheba. Next, we move to race 8, the grade 3 Modesty. Start of the late pick 4. Phillies and mares 4 and up on the turf at a mile and an eighth. I ended up taking Surprisingly here. This horse had a couple of good runs since coming to Pletcher, cutting back to a mile and an eighth here. And what really kind of skilled it for me is they line up Pratt to ride this one. I think that could be a really good fit for this horse. So I'm going to take Surprisingly. Heavenly Sunday is also entering a race on Derby Day, so I don't know exactly where she's going to run. But if she runs in this spot for Brad Cox, she's a major player. Has won here on this track and then also won last November in a race that came off the turf. Sparkle Blue, the 10, it's Graham Motion, third off the layoff, and has two wins at this mile and an eighth distance. Mufi, first or second in 8 of 10 starts, the 5 horse, and you get Dottori signing on to ride this one. So I thought that was noteworthy. And then Caroline Street I would include because it's Brendan Walsh getting one into the United States for the first time, and he has good success with these horses that come over from Europe into his barn. And so even though she is coming off a layoff, I would take a look at Caroline Street as well. But Surprisingly on top for me in the Modesty. How'd you see it?
I had those 5 horses. This is the first leg of the pick 4, and I'm going to go 6 deep in here. Heavenly Sunday, I did hear yesterday that they're expecting her to run on Friday. So as you say, if she runs in this spot, she's a huge player because 1-for-1 at Churchill, she won the Mrs. Revere last time out in November by 5 lengths, the one that was off the turf. But she's also won the Edgewood last year on Derby Day. So she's got a lot of experience at Churchill, and she's just grade 1, grade 2 test, grade 2 and grade 3 tested. And again, Giroux, I think this is 5 races in a row we've talked about Giroux having one of the favorites. The other horses you mentioned, I like all of them. Caroline Street at 15-1 intrigues me for Rosario and Walsh. Walsh had a great Keeneland meet and cost me a little bit of money at Keeneland because I didn't play him a couple times. This horse's time forms are not great, but she's obviously been racing against very good company over there. So I would think Caroline Street is an inclusion here. The one you didn't mention that I'm going to use is Aspen Grove for Jack Sisterson, coming off a race at Tampa where you did mention Sparkle Blue, and she ran right behind Sparkle Blue in the Hillsborough at Tampa. So I think she improves off that. She ran an E.P. Taylor at Woodbine, the grade 1. She's grade 1 tested. She won the grade 1 Belmont Oaks in July of 23. So lots of class here for Aspen Grove, and Tyler Gaffleone gets the mount. Could be a big weekend for Tyler, obviously. So the 5 you mentioned plus Aspen Grove won 6 deep.
Race 9 is the grade 2 8 Bells at 7 furlongs for 3-year-old fillies. It starts a late pick 5 as well. Brad Cox has a pretty strong hand there with Impel and Denim and Pearls. How'd you see this one?
I think this is the Brad Cox Invitational. I think this is usually a really, really good race, but I think that those two, if you can't get through the pick 4 or pick 5 with those two, you probably don't need to play it unless you've just got unlimited pockets. Of the two, Denim and Pearls run in the Beaumont at Keeneland was just amazing, and I think at 7 furlongs he might be better than Impel. If this race was a little bit longer, I might take Impel, but I think Denim and Pearls with that race under her belt in the Beaumont, she just blew him away by 9.25, and she improves on that a little bit. She's going to blow this field away, and Impel is going to be second. So very simple for me on this one. Would be shocked if one of these other horses jump up and beat Denim and Pearls and Impel.
Like you, I like Denim and Pearls over Impel a little bit. That was a huge jump up last time to that 98 buyer for Denim and Pearls, and she's 3-for-3 around one turn, so I think that's the key for her. There's one other horse I'm going to include with the two Brad Cox runners, and that is Helena's Forte. And she goes for Phil Bauer. And he, I think, will certainly be pointing for this weekend with his stable. And This horse has been very good at Churchill, flopped in the Ashland, but now gets back to one turn. So like with Denim and Pearls, I think the one turn is the key for this horse, who has run well at Churchill. And they're changing jockeys and using Jose Ortiz on this horse. And I think with a horse that has early, you know, some early speed, not necessarily on the lead, but up there in the vanguard, as the saying goes, I think he's going to be a really good fit. I think he gets horses out of the gate well. So if there's an upset, I think it's that one. And so I'm going to put that one on my pick four ticket to try to boost the price a little bit, and may try to split the two Cox runners in an exacta by trying to get her into second, too. 10th race is the Grade 2 Edgewood for 3-year-old fillies on the turf at a mile and a 16th. I like Buku a lot in here. Liked her last time at Keeneland. She was really impressive in that comeback race and ought to move forward off that. It's the Bauer Barn again here. Horse is training impressively, so I considered singling Buku in the pick four. Hard to justify. Breeders' Cup winner for Chad Brown coming off a layoff. Could get a wide trip from that 9 hole. Is a little bit of a concern, more so really than the layoff with a guy like Chad Brown. Scalable is a little interesting to me. Off the Oaks trail, they were, I think, trying to make her an Oaks filly, and she just wasn't quite good enough, but she's really bred to move up on the turf, and so she gets to try it for the first time. They got Dettori to ride her, and he knows a thing or two about riding on the grass, so I thought Scalable was interesting to me in here. Pounce had a bad start last time and a wide trip at Keeneland. The previous race would be good enough to have a big shot in here for the Cassie Barn. Calispera, it's the third out for the Lynch Barn. And this horse took a lot of money in both of the previous two starts. And they switched jockeys here to Rosario. And it seems like he would be a really good fit on this filly, who comes from off the pace, and Joel's a great finisher. So those are the ones I like in here, but I like Buku a lot. How about you?
Somehow I knew you'd like that horse. I don't know what it is about the name or Phil Bauer, but you were all over.
She was good to me last fall at Keeneland, too.
you remember those horses that are good to you, don't you?
Yes.
And Buku's got a big shot in here. Moving forward with the Appalachian, and you're right, Phil Bauer has got his guys primed and ready for this meet. So would not surprise me at all if Buku won. But I thought there's a lot more quality here. And you mentioned Pounce. Pounce was done at the start in Appalachian, had no shot, and was actually the favorite. Went off at a little less than 3-1. Did not get anything out of that race, so I'm just going to draw a line through it and go back to that Here Comes the Bride at Gulfstream. And she runs back to that, she's right there. So I think Pounce, if you're going to get close to 10-1 on it, is a bargain. Hard to justify. Hadn't been out since the juvenile fillies, but she's 3-for-3 lifetime. And Chad Brown and Flavian Pratt, not too bad a combination there. Mo Fox Gibbon intrigues me a little bit. This horse got better in the Appalachian and ran huge at 58-1. So if you had been really smart, you'd have taken Buku on top with all and had to try in that race, because I think it paid boxcars. I can't remember what it paid.
Yeah, sometimes you just don't want to show off.
Yeah, I know. don't get greedy.
Yes.
I can't believe they got this name by the Jockey Club, but they did. So Mo Fox Given, at a price, I think, has a shot to get the money. And then one that you didn't mention, I think, is Dynamic Pricing for Chad Brown coming out of the Florida Oaks, where didn't run very well, but the Sweetest Chant at Gulfstream, she almost won that and ran right with Style Points, who's a nice filly. So Dynamic Pricing at 12-1 with Ired Ortiz. Ired Ortiz will win a race this weekend that he doesn't look like he can win. So always look at him if he's 8-1 or better, because he makes horses better. So I'm going to go deep in here. I don't think Buku is a single. I think there's a lot of quality in this race.
Let's go to the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks that wraps up the late pick four that we're talking about. It's 3-year-old fillies going a mile and an eighth, and it is really a nice group of fillies to contest the Oaks here. You've got somebody's going to finish fourth and fifth in here that is going to win probably multiple Grade 1s later this year. So how did you see the Oaks?
I think there's six horses that can win the Oaks, and I may be leaving out somebody that I'm not thinking about. like a lemon muffin with Lucas or somebody. But Kenny McPeak loves Torpedo Anna. And I think made a comment that you better bring your gun because she's a bear or something like that. And she's been training lights out. She won the fantasy at Oakland for fun. Kenny McPeak and BJ Hernandez have been on fire this spring. So Torpedo Anna at 5-1, certainly got a user here. Tarifa's going to be the favorite for Brad Cox coming off the Fairgrounds Oaks, won two races at Fairgrounds, progression of buyers from 86 to 90 to 95. I think she will be the favorite unless Leslie's Rose becomes the favorite off that Ashland win. And that day, there was a lot of talk about the other horses, just FYI and Impel. Leslie's Rose kind of flew under the radar that day, and this was a huge win for Mandy Pope and the Whisper Hill Farm, and Keeneland purchase of $1.1 million. So I've got a pull for Leslie's Rose. 14-hole, not great, but it's a mile and an eighth, and she looks like she's made for the distance, and she's got a huge shot with Irad. Just FYI, couldn't beat Leslie's Rose in the Ashland, but that's her first time off a layoff. Leslie's Rose had recency advantage, and that's no longer the case. So just FYI, could jump up and close that gap. Ways and Means for Chad Brown coming out of the Gulfstream Oaks, and Power Squeeze coming out of the same race for Jorge Delgado and Daniel Centeno, who gets a chance to win a big race here. Power Squeeze has won four in a row at Gulfstream in Tampa and Delaware. So she could surprise some people, and at 12-1, she's my long shot in here. I'm going to use all the obvious ones, and I think it's going to be an absolutely great Kentucky Oaks. Would not shock me to see Leslie's Rose win, and it would make me very happy with a Keeneland connection and Miss Mandy Pope.
I have gone back and forth between Torpedo Anna and Just FYI for my top pick, and I finally settled on Just FYI coming out of the Ashland. And they initially wanted to get her year started down in Gulfstream, and I think she had a little bit of a minor illness. I think it was an illness and not a big deal, but they couldn't get her started there, so they bring her to the Ashland. She runs an 89 off the layoff, and that was, you know, missing a little bit of time. And she has trained spectacularly at Churchill Downs from all reports. I just think she takes a big step forward. And so I ended up going with her, just the slightest of nod over Torpedo Anna, who was so impressive in the race at Oaklawn last time. Ways and Means got a horrendous ride last time and got beat down at Gulfstream, but it looks like she is a big-time talent. Tarifa has accomplished a lot already. Leslie's Rose might even be better at a mile and an eighth, looking at her pedigree. So I'm on those five that I'm going to use in my pick four ticket. Another one that was a little intriguing to me was Regulatory Risk as a long shot prospect. Can't remember the name of the horse that ran second, nearly won the Oaks last year, came out of the Gazelle. It's usually been a pretty efficient or proficient prep race for the Oaks. And she jumped up to an 84 buyer last time. That was significant improvement. Taking the blinkers off, that's a 28% angle for Chad Brown. So I thought that one was a little intriguing as a long shot play. If you're doing a try or a super, that's one that could boost the price, certainly, around all of those horses that are going to be somewhere between probably 7-2 and 5 or 6-1. So just FYI for me, with just the narrowest edge over Torpedo Anna for the Kentucky Oaks. All right, Jim, time to put together pick four tickets. Starts in the eighth with the Modesty, all graded stakes. I'm going to go five deep in the Modesty, 4, 5, 6, 10, 11, then 1, 7, and 9 in the eight bells. I'm just going to use Buku and Scalable for a price in the Edgewood, so 3 and 4, and then 5, 8, 11, 13, 14 in the Oaks for a $75 ticket. How did you put your ticket together?
Well, you kept under a budget. I didn't. Oaks Day and Derby Day, I expand my budget. So I actually spent, I'll give you an option to do a $90 ticket, but I actually spent $180. So I just think it's so wide open outside of the second leg. So 2, 4, 5, 6, 10, 11 with 1, 7. With 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, with 5, 8, 11, 12, 13, 14, and that's $180. Out of those six horses at the end, I think we got it covered with those six. But if you wanted to cut that down you know, every horse costs you $30. So you could cut it down to three and spend 90, cut it down to four, spend 120. But I'm going to go ahead and budget 180 for the pick four. The other thing I want to talk about is I love rolling pick threes on these big days. And that's where you can get into it for a little bit less money, especially if you find a single and play it in the start of a pick three and the end of a pick three. Rolling pick threes pay really well with these huge pools on Oaks Day and Derby Day.
Remember, the Oaks starts a Oaks Derby double, two-day bet, and then there's another two-day bet. It's a pick three with the Turf Classic and the Derby coming back to the Oaks. So I remember all those. And I think, Jim, and there are two-day pick six as well, right?
That's what I say. Don't forget the two-day pick six. Go to Churchill Downs' website. They got a complete listing of all the special bets because you get into Oaks Day and you get into Derby Day, especially Oaks Day, you kind of forget those two-day bets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice to have to spend a little bit of money and have something riding on the Derby or riding on the Woodford Turf the next day that just, you know, enhances your enjoyment on Saturday and maybe gives you a little bit of a cushion to play your bankrolls on Saturday. And it's a great betting, you know, 2 days, as good a 2 days as you'll see outside the Breeders' Cup.
Amen to that. And so best of luck to everybody as you structure your bets for this weekend. Of course, we'll be back with the Saturday edition of this In the Money podcast to take a look at the Kentucky Derby Day card. For Jim Goodman, I'm Tom Leach, and this is the In the Money podcast from KeenelandSelect.com.